Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture reading is going to come tonight from Exodus 21 and 6. Exodus 21 through 6. And then we're going to go with Jude 17 and 19. And then we're going to do Jude 20 through 23. So tonight we're just discussing just the idols in the life of a believer. And then we're also going to be looking at, you know, just false teaching. False teaching. And as we just built up on where we were at on the last broadcast, we're going to go to just trying to reinforce our faith. We talked about effective prayers. And, you know, we spoke about how that we have to be in fellowship with God to have effective prayers. We have to make our request, make sure that our request is not selfish request. Make sure that our requests that we're praying for are in the will of God. And then we have to make sure that our motive is right. You know, make sure that we're not praying that for something that would hurt us or that would take us away from God. Or we're not praying for something that would hurt someone else, you know, in our anger, in our emotions, that would take them out of it. So we want to make sure that our motives are not selfish. They're not greedy motives. They're unpure motives. We spoke of just reminding everyone that our Heavenly Father tells us to pray, and He will answer when our hearts are clean. Amen? When our hearts are clean. So reminding each and every one of us, so we cannot just pray, as John 14:14 tells us, it says that if we ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So sometimes when we pray and we end our prayers in his name, we end our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, or anything similar to that, in his name, in the name of El Shaddai, you know, whatever it is at the moment that we're praying for, because he is all of those things and more. And before we can finish calling him one name, you know, he's another. Whatever it is that we need, he said, I am that I am. So he's all of that and more. So we stamp that at the end of our prayers, and we conclude it with amen, and we cannot figure out sometimes why still our prayers is not answered, why we're not hearing from God. So those are some of the reasons why. Even though you're doing it in the name of Jesus, you may be doing it in a selfish way. It may be something that will take you away from the Lord. It may be something that is not in God's will. See, he's not going to contradict himself, okay, according to his word. And you can't force his hand. He's not going to do it. So we're just going to look at some of the different things like idols that try to separate in our lives. And in this day and time, you know, that's a big deal, a big dilemma. As we look all around us, we can find all kind of idols and idolatry, which just comes from the same word. So again, we're going to start at verse 1 in Exodus. And this is well known. Everyone knows this one here, Exodus 1 through 6 is where we're going to go. And I'm sure you already had it there and already know exactly where we're going with it, right? Well, all right then, you Bible scholars, you. So here we go. And God spoke all these words. Number one, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And verse 6 says, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments, of those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, have you noticed that in recent history, the word idol has kind of been completely disassociated from the word idolatry? Have you noticed that? You know, in the church circle, we look at the mention of idolatry, and it just brings us to mind of the images of the golden calf, you know, and all the other things that once were worshipped by heathens. We know that these things are wrong because, you know, worship should be directed to God alone, correct? But do we feel the same about idols? So when we look at adultery, we think of all of those golden calves and things, but when we look at the word idols itself, is that something that, do we get the same feeling here now in this day and time in the church? It's a good question to ask yourself and bring before the members of your congregation, and to just see, you know, today's culture itself, we enjoy its own idols. We have a lot of idols now in today's culture. I mean, we have music stars, beauty queens, pop culture idols, even sports heroes. They all are fighting for our interest. And in return for their hard work, as they're fighting for our interest, we give them just about what they want. We give them our focus, undivided. You better not come in to mess with someone's game on a Sunday or a Monday night football. We give them that focus, that attention that they're looking for. You know, we will sit for hours in front of the TV. Following our fashion trends of top celebrities are just reading or watching or listening to anything that features our favorite public figures. You know, we can, we even complain if the game is over too quick. We feel like we didn't get our money's worth. You know, I spent this time, and we're prepared for the game to come on. We're preparing a house for the company to come and watch the game. We get prepared to do all of those things because those are the things that's where our heart is at. That's where our heart is at, following behind our idols, you know. But if we come into the church house, and I know you feel where I'm going, come on and go with me. Don't stop now. Go with me. When we walk into the church house and we sit there, and the things that we go through, most times is what my service starts at 11, and we're out by 1:30, usually the latest. So 2.5 hours. Oh, my gosh, people will complain. Have you heard people complaining about, oh, he was long-winded, did they walk away? Wow, did she not realize the time that we've been in there since 11 o'clock and it's already past 1? You know, we will complain. We get so upset about spending time in the worship of God, in the presence of God, spending time with other believers as we learn together. We just, it's like storytelling. We sit down and listen and learn from together what it is that God has for us. All the things that we've been praying about all week long. And now as he gives it to our shepherd and he brings that same answer that we've been waiting on, he gives it to our shepherd. And our shepherd speaks it over the pulpit, out into the congregation, and as the Holy Spirit connects with each and every one of us, it should be a beautiful thing. But we're watching the clock. We're thinking about what we're going to do after, and it's all just so we can say that, hey, I went to church, all because we've got our mind on our idols. Amen? You know, the 1950s gave our society a term that has since characterized our culture-driven mindset, and that was the teen idol. That's not a new phase, a phrase. That actually started in the 50s. No, I wasn't there. I was not around in that time, but it was actually started in the 50s. But we must be reminded what an idol is. It's not simple. Some image of a false god to whom we bow down and worship, but more instead, an idol is anything that we value more than the Lord. Anything that we value more than the Lord. So an idol could actually be that you're so in love with this new person that you just can't get, you value that more than you do the Lord, more than you do your prayer time, more than you do being involved in your church. It's an idol now in your life, you know? So anything that you value more than the Lord is an idol. Again, this could be movie stars, it could be prized possessions, or even ones. And the nature of idolatry is distraction. That's the whole purpose of these idols, is distraction. When something pulls out our eyes, it's a distraction. You know, we begin to spiral out of control when things get our attention and gets our focus out off of God. As you notice in your life, that's where you start to go wrong. You start to spiral out of control, and it feels good for a minute to kind of be out of control, to be spiraling, but it never stops. You know, bring in your distractions to the Lord. Because once you're so far gone, you have to stop and you say, no, you're seeing the wrong side. No, you're seeing that, you know, this spiraling is giving me a headache. No, you're seeing that, you know, this spiraling is taking me to places that I didn't want to go. I never thought I would head down this direction. I'm actually trying to go the other way. I just needed a break. I just needed to spin for a minute. I just needed, we all know what our own private things is that we just need it to just hook us back down and take us back in areas. Sometimes it can be a place that you dug your way out of. But you said, just give me one more of the drink. I just need a taste of it. Let me just get out here one more time and just fool around. Let me just, I'm not through sowing my wild oats. Let me just get out here and do this and do that one more time. That one time is the time that spinning wheel, just spinning so fast that you can't jump back off. It's easy to jump yourself into something. Jumping back out of that, that's when you have problems. Your distraction gets so heavy that you can't carry that load any longer. So, of course, I invite you, the Bible invites you, yes, God himself, his words, his thoughts, he still is such a loving God that even though that we are distracted by these different idols, he says that I want you to still bring them back to me. Bring them back to me. And, you know, it could be whatever it is that's holding, that's distracted you, that has pulled your eyes away from God. Bring your distractions to the Lord. Ask him forgiveness for the times that you've allowed other people or other things to take precedence in your life. We have to ask God for forgiveness for those things. And we have to pray for wisdom to enjoy his blessing without being blinded by the temptations that pull you from communion with God. If it's something that is weighing you down that bad and is tempting you that bad, and you're not bringing that and laying it down before the Lord, you know, you don't feel like that you should open your mouth and speak those words to God about what exactly that temptation is, how you feel when that temptation is on you. Wow. I thank God that I have someone that I can come and talk to. Free of charge. Free of charge. You know, hallelujah. You know, as we get around and if we don't bring those things to God, the thing that happens is we get ourselves mixed up and we end up in the midst of false teachings. And those false teachings can lead us in all kinds of directions. And they will begin to make sense to you, even to the things that at one time that you said, it's no way I would believe this or that. It's no way I would give any time to this or that. After you're spiraling out of control, you're not seeing things clearly. You're not seeing things. You don't even hear things in the same way. You know, just you can get up right now and just kind of turn around right there in your home a couple times, and you're starting to feel dizzy because things are looking different. Things start to feel different. Where you think something is, try to point to an area that you are very familiar with that's in your home, but as you're spiraling you pointing in the wrong direction. And that's just the way it is with us. As we're spiraling out of control, we see things differently. Nothing really feels like it should feel. It's hard to get yourself back to where you need to be. So therefore, it's easy to be persuaded by false teaching. Amen? Sometimes you say, well, I don't think I ever should stop doing this. You know, this drug has gotten me down. I don't think I ever be able to pull myself out of it. So then it's easier for you to just say, well, you know what? The false teacher said, you don't have to. You know, you can still be a leader here in the church and be on drugs. You can still be a leader here in the church and be homosexual. You can still be a leader here and bring all of your stuff with you. You don't have to stop. And then they'll take some quote and some scripture from here of the Bible and a little bit from here of the Bible, and we'll try to mix it in there together. But see, in actuality, those blocks never will fit up together. They will never line up together because you're putting them. It's a distraction. You're putting them in all the wrong orders. All the wrong orders. So Jude 17 and 19, it says, but dear friends, remember what the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. Verse 19 says, these are the men who divide you, who follow mere nature, natural instinct, and do not have the Spirit. So what does it say? It says, these are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instinct, and do not have the Spirit. You know, so it's actually telling us, you know, our Father tells us that. He says we perish from lack of what? Understanding. Understanding. That's clinging onto our natural instinct when we try to go by our own understanding. And we all know how dangerous incorrect teachings can be in our Christian walk. Very dangerous thing. Today we're going to look at some of the ways to identify false teachers. And this will help us be prepared for the things that Satan might send our way. I just put down four different thoughts here for you. I want to go over with you. And the first one, you know, false teachers are mockers. That is, they attack or attempt to discredit the Word of God or the church. When such a message is presented passionately and intelligently, even sincere people can get caught up in the Antichrist sentiment and find themselves doubting the truth of Scripture. False teachers, they're mockers. They want to do things that Jesus did, but do it in the way their spin, put their spin on it. And then they will get into a place that they come for your emotion. They come straight for your passion. They want to be right there. They come straight for your intellect. And they can be so passionate. They can bring it to you so intellectually. They can be so suave and debonair that even sincere people can get caught up, and start to believe the false teachings and start to doubt the scriptures. You know, second, teachers will follow after their own lust. Now, for these people, the interpretation of scriptures becomes a matter of selective belief. That's what we're just spoke about. They select what they want to believe. And they arrange their theology to justify their sinful habits, to justify their sinful desires. But it will never fit. They're taking pieces and they're trying to connect them together here so it'll make them look good. So it will satisfy their own lust, their own wickedness inside of their heart. And then they stand before you and they see what it is that you're weak in, and they push in those areas until they can get a break. you know, third, false teachers. False teachers are divisive. I mean, they try to come across as superior to their listeners by, you know, claiming an experience that elevated them to a higher level or, you know, by professing a more advanced spirituality that others could never hope to achieve. They've experienced some things that tipped them to this level that you can only merely look up at them. They're superior. They're higher. They've been somewhere that you'll never go. They make the story seem so amazing that it just draws your attention. It just attracts you to them. It just makes you want to just follow behind them. But really, you're falling behind just on love. God is a God that each and every one of us can go as high as you want to go. And then fourth, my sisters and brothers, you know, if you really listen to it, false teachers are worldly minded. Let me break that down a little bit more. False teachers, they're not interested in the true teachings of God's word. Focus on what they can achieve. They focus on how many people will follow them. They focus on how much they can earn through their teaching. Great signs to look for. You know, true spirit-led teachers avoid traps, and they recognize that two important keys are being humble and unity with the listeners. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 tells us that. And then when they receive instructions, a wise believer will pray for the Holy Spirit's discernment in order to distinguish the truth from errors. That's where we have to come at. I don't care how good it sounds to you, how much it tickles your ears, a wise believer needs to always pray for the Holy Spirit to discern. Give me discernment. Intercede for me. Give me discernment about so that I can distinguish what's true and what's a lie, what sounds good and what is good, what feels good to me but may not be good for me. False teachers. I invite you to download the episode so you can go back. You know, we have to learn to reinforce our faith. And as we continue our reading in Jude with verse 20, picking right up at 20 through 23, it tells us, but you, dear child, dear friend, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Again, it says, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. And then 22 says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from their fire and save them. To others, show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by a corrupt flesh. Can't bow down to it. We must stand strong. We must show mercy, show love, because we want to show them the good news. We want them to be led to the Father who can save them from destruction, from the fire. And even though we have already, you know, examined some ways of false teaching, it is literally impossible for us to avoid this destructive influence completely. It's all around us. We're not going to be able to avoid that all of the negative false teachers around us. We just have to be aware and just know that they're there. Know that they're going to be there, and they're coming for you. they're coming for you. Critical. It is critical, my sisters and brothers, that we reinforce our faith so we'll be able to stand firm against the subversive pull of the world. You know, but how can we build a stronger faith? You may say, how can we build a stronger faith? So where we're at, where we're going, what is it? It's all around us. We're going to be tempted with all of these things. How can we build that stronger faith? You know, first we must saturate our minds with the holy, unchanging word of God. We've got to saturate our minds with the holy, unchanging word of God. Amen? Then the Holy Spirit will continuously refresh our minds and continuously bring new insights as we develop Christian maturity, as we mature. Second, we must commit to pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, Ephesians 6:18, it says we can trust God's Spirit to guide us in our prayers, leading us with regard to what, when, and how to pray. So it leads us. We can trust the Holy Spirit to guide us in our prayers of what to pray, when to pray, how to pray. You know, third, sisters and brothers, it says that we must keep ourselves in the love of God. You know, of course, we'll never fall beyond the scope of divine love, but we shouldn't ever take the Lord's amazing grace for granted. We should never take his love, his amazing grace for granted. So we can never fall beyond the scope of his divine love, but we don't want to take it for granted. With that in mind, we need to guard our closeness with him. We need to ensure that we spend uninterrupted time in his presence. You know, my co-pastor tells a story. She said at one point in her life when they were, I'm not sure which base they were on at the time, but it was a woman on there that at a certain time of day, that was her prayer time. That was uninterrupted time of prayer. And it really, at the time co-pastor wasn't saved, it really bothered her and some other women that this particular lady, that was just her time. Nothing would interrupt her. They tried calling her to see would she be interrupted during those times. No, she would not answer the phone. They even went so far, they even knocked on her door, still trying to interrupt her. And they was like, now, this is crazy. Anything, it can be an emergency. Anything can happen. And she unlocked herself in that house in there talking about this is her prayer time. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, did she just not know what it was, the connection that this woman had. Until she was connected through that woman's prayer, that woman finally led her to the Lord. You know, she didn't get mad. I'm sure she decided that she was not going to let them interrupt her or whatever. So she kept on doing what she was doing, and God gave her the favor of being able to lead those same women to feel what it is that she was doing, to know what it is that she was knowing. And that's what we have to have. We've got to have a guard in our minds, in our hearts. We've got to guard our closeness with the Father. We have to ensure that we spend uninterrupted time in his presence. I know your favorite show may be getting ready to come on. He said, well, it doesn't even normally come on at this time. Now they've changed it. And now they're saying this is the special that you can't miss. You're either going to have to record it, you're going to have to miss it, sister. I know, brother, they say, but this is the, you know, unexpected. Your boys just now came and knocked on the door, and they got everything you need, and they're ready to sit down and watch a game. And, hey, I'm sorry. This is not the time. I can't have company at this time. This is my prayer time, man. We've got to be not afraid to let people know who we are, to know this is my uninterrupted time with my Father. I'm not available during this hour and this hour. I'm just not available. We've got to protect our closeness with Him. And then fourth, in our closing, we must await the Lord's return eagerly. Eagerly. You know, from the Christian perspective, Jesus' second coming is the most anticipated event in history. And we need to keep our eyes on His goal. Don't get carried away. Keep our eyes on His goal. You know, the thought that Christ could return at any moment is a purifying and protective realization for the believers. 1 John 3:2-3. It says it is a purifying and protective realization for the believers. You see, there is no magic formula for spiritual growth. No, it's not. But these simple steps laid out in verses 20 and 23 of Jude that we just went over, they can serve as a guide, though. They can serve as a guide while we strive to protect our faith from the snares of this world. From the snares of this world. You know, God is a good God. He loves us unconditionally. And He goes out of His way to just make sure that we are protected. He's got everything that we need. We have to make sure that we are going out of our way to lead someone to the Lord. The good news, share with them the good news. People need to hear some good news. People need something they can live by. They need a guideline. You know, I know people say, I'm grown. I do things I want to do. But we see how quick that turns astray. We see how that just one snag, one day can change all of that. And people say, I don't know what to do. And it's the truth. They don't know what to do. People need some good news. They need it. And if you got it, why are you holding on to it? He said they're not going to want to receive it. It's not for you to determine who it is. God wants none to perish. Start calling out their name in prayer. Start asking God to soften their heart. He will give you the time and how to present His word to them. Lead them also to the Lord. He wants none to perish. I know it seems like that person is kind of out of control, but He wants none to perish. You know, there are servants wanted. Servants are needed. You know, we have unlimited openings for motivated servants to meet the needs of God's people. Starting immediately. You don't have to wait. You can start immediately. Now, some of the responsibilities include performing random acts of kindness. Is that you? Other responsibilities include serving and pleasing God and doing what He calls you to do. Is that you, my brother? Now, no skills are needed. God will equip you with the on-the-job training. So no fancy degrees is needed. No titles need to be before or after your name. God will equip you with the on-the-job training. You know, benefits include growth opportunities leading to one incredible raise at the end of your service. To apply, just contact God. To apply, just contact God. Amen? Amen. We thank you, Jesus, for another broadcast, and I thank you for all that you are and all that you've said. And may the word, that your glorious word that you presented to us today, may it not just go in one ear and come out the other. May it just stop and meditate and just penetrate in our hearts and change our lives and change the lives of those all around us. We thank you, dear Father, for another broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll come today, just special prayer. I just want to send the prayer out to Ernie and his sister and mother and family. And Ernie is fighting for his life here. The young man, I think Ernie, I may be wrong, but I know he's between 30 and 31. Let's say that, okay? And he's in hospice care now. And, again, just one of the situations of not too sure. You know, he's fine one moment, and the next day, like I said, here he is in hospice. And we're still praying for you, Ernie, and God bless you and your sister and your mom, and just whatever it is that we here at the ministry can do for you. We reach out to you on every day, and we continue, will reach out for you, and just let us know of any needs that you have. And I know right now they're just asking for prayer and more prayer and more prayer. So all of your prayer warriors and intercessors, this is your time to turn up the heat, turn up the fire, and stay in prayer for all of our families and all around the world. Where it's just this one here of Ernie, it is many all around the world. And just as you're praying, as you're interceding and praying, just reach out and just call out for all families that are in hospice care right now. Amen? Amen. I also just want to send out prayers for all mothers who are heavy-hearted right now for some child that has been disobedient, some child that is really raising their hands to you or just all kind of foul language that they're using towards you. You keep on praying. You have a job to do, too. We can't not just stop and decide, well, that's just the way that it is, and I'm just going to let them have their way. You've got to keep yourself in the Word. You need to make sure that you're speaking to someone in your congregation, and I know that in some cases, and one in particular, I know you say that your church is so big that you don't talk to anyone, and you just do, but this is the time to break that chain. This is the time to go find someone in your leadership. Let them know what you're going through. Let them know so they can help pray with you. They can put you in the right directions. You may be praying for some scripture that's not according to the needs right now. You need to make sure that you have some prayer warriors in there with you interceding and that's able to look you in your eyes and help you go, because you too need some strength. You need some strength where you've been torn down. Verbal abuse is still a form of abuse. And I invite you to go back into the archives and download some of the broadcasts that we spoke about abuse. It's been a whole 7 days just talking about different forms of abuse and just looking at some of the different things that will move you out of it and that may have got you there to start with. So we want to make sure that you are being strengthened where you're needed at, and you definitely need to make sure that you are focusing on getting yourself stronger so you can help your loved one. But do not, I repeat, do not give up. Do not give up. That is not just a way of life, and that is not something that should be going on. God does still hear your prayers, and we need to make sure that we're using our forms to get effective prayers going. So we're here for you here at the ministry, and we want to see the manifestation of all the things that God is going to do in, through, and around you. Amen? Amen. So we call out the name right now of Emily, and we ask Emily to just also find help in where you're at about being respectful to your mother. And it may not be that mother has done everything correctly. We're all human. But you're a mother now yourself. So it's going to be times that you're going to have to face some situations, too, that your child may not understand why you had to make this decision or that decision. But I still remind you, too, it is your duty as a child to still respect your mother. Amen? So, again, with you, please reach out to the ministry. We would love to send you some biblical literature to pray with you, pray for you, and let you know that you're not alone. If you do not know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to just follow me, repeat the words after me. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your glorious opportunity to meet you. I know that you are the God of all creation, and you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he gave his life, and he shed his blood to cover my sins. I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and accept me into your family. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, not just for now, but forever and evermore. Amen. Amen. You just pray that prayer. You are a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I am your host, Minister Yvonne Dimmels. I broadcast live in San Antonio, Texas. I love you, but God loves you more. Do your best to do the best you. I'll pray for you, and you pray for me. Until the next broadcast, good night.